For one of two of you, I know you have heard that Proverbs reading, or at least part of it, within the last week or so. And the reason I know that is I used verses 1 to 6 as a basis for urging the Finance Committee to act decisively in reducing our current running deficit. But no sooner as I had used that passage to make that point, no sooner as I'd urged the committee to do all they could to reduce the deficit, I realized there was more to this passage than met the eye. As with all scriptures, the more you look at them, the more you listen to them, the more you read them, the more they give back to us. And so on this day when we celebrate harvest, on this day when we focus on the work of the Cambridge Food Bank, and particularly the Cambridge Money Advice Centre, and the work they do and the good news that they bring, I wonder whether there is something more in this Proverbs passage than simply the exhortation not to allow yourself to be tied up in other people's debts and therefore put yourself at the mercy of others. And I wonder if there's more in this Proverbs reading than simply the reference to the Protestant worth ethic that says that belief in God means if you work hard, God will bless you. I wonder if there's some good news to be found here. I wonder if there's some good news to be found for those who work as hard as they can and still not feed their families and heat their homes. I wonder if there's good news here for someone who, no matter how hard they work, their business fails. And seeing their business fail, they find themselves dealing with a mountain of debt. I wonder whether there's good news here, even in this passage from Proverbs, which is why I've laid it alongside the Jesus Manifesto from Luke 4. Because when Luke goes into the synagogue in Nazareth, he's ready to make a statement. He's already been preaching around the area. And when he goes into the synagogue, he's ready to make an announcement that will define his earthly ministry. And having returned to his hometown, he's treated as a guest in a place of worship. And as a guest, and indeed from Luke's account, the news about him has spread around the countryside, it seems that Jesus is actually a minor celebrity. So perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that as he arrives, he's given the scroll to read, the privilege of reading God's word among his people. And perhaps it's even less surprising that he's given an opportunity to speak, to explain that word, to speak of what God is doing. And taking that opportunity, Jesus reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he outlines his manifesto, and he says he's come to bring good news to the poor, freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor. Now, down through the centuries, this has been interpreted in many ways, and primarily as a spiritual release. It's been read spiritually, recognizing that the good news of the gospel is a spiritual encounter. It is being set free to a new life. It is good news that Jesus has risen from the dead. A spiritual reading can equally be applied to the recovery of sight, to seeing God in a way we've not seen him before, to having the scales fall from our eyes and us be able to encounter God and understand the good news, what God has done for us in Jesus. And seeing freedom for the prisoners and oppressed, it is seen as a spiritual freedom that comes from accepting Jesus as Savior and committing our lives to following him. But there's a physical element here. There's also seeing the good news as being brought to the here and now. The posh for it, word for it, and I will come back to it later, is realized eschatology. It is the end of God, the glory of God's kingdom arrived in the here and now. That's what it means. It means to bring the good news in more than a spiritual term, in more than simply spiritual release. It means physical forms of release, like providing food or dealing with mounting debt. In their book, Sleeping with Bread, Dennis, Sheila and Matthew Lynn tell the story of how during the Second World War, an orphanage started to practice of giving each child a piece of bread before they went to bed at night. They weren't to eat the bread, they were to keep it on their pillow. And it was a reminder to them that in the morning there would be bread to eat. For children who had lost everything, there was the anxiety that tomorrow everything might be gone. And to be given the bread last thing at night was to mean that they could sleep secure in the knowledge that tomorrow there would be bread for breakfast. And in effect, by doing that, the children slept better as their anxiety level was lowered. As sad as it is that we have so many food banks, as sad as it is that so many churches run food parlours and the need for them, I do wonder if food hubs and projects like Food Cycle, food banks and food hubs, I do wonder, even though they're a terrible indictment on our land, do wonder whether they actually bring a sense of hope, a sense of allaying anxieties that for many it is one less thing to worry about in the day. When you work two jobs and still can't feed your family and heat your homes, the fact that there is somewhere where you can get food, somewhere like here on a Saturday where you can get a meal for free. Surely that's good news. But if that's the case with the food bank, the link to the back to the Jesus Manifesto, the desire to be good news to the poor, also has something to say to this passage in Proverbs. This passage where the teacher urges a student to avoid putting themselves up to be surety for a loan for someone else. If your neighbor comes and says, "Stand surety," don't do it. But there's something else in this passage as well that's a little uncomfortable when you read it. It's the bit that links poverty to a lack of industry. Is that really good news? Is the writer to Proverbs really saying that prudence brings about God's blessing? That work hard and God will bless you. It's certainly a message that is being promoted among some politicians. And it's certainly a message promoted by many churches for generations as part of a Protestant work ethic. It goes back at least a couple of hundred years. But is the message that God helps those who help themselves really good news? What about those who work incredibly hard and yet, due to the economic cycle and pressures beyond their control, they see their businesses fail? What about those who work two jobs and still cannot pay the bills and feed their family? Has God rejected them? Before I responded to God's call to the ministry, I spent 12 years working for HMRC, and for 9 of those, I worked for the collector of taxes. Now, for those of you who know me really well, you'll know that this is one of the happiest places I've ever worked. I enjoyed the work. The people were great, and although it was a pressurized environment, there was always a lot of support there. But it was also one of the saddest places I'd ever worked. Because time and time again, I would see people who would come into the office with the letter that I'd sent them saying, I am about to call with the bailiff. And they'd sit down and they would pour out their hearts. And believe me, when people are running into debt, the last person they pay is the tax office. They always want to try and pay everybody else first. So when they come to us, there's a mountain of debt. And we had to spend time sitting with them, trying to eke money where there wasn't any. It's a sad thing when debts mount up. And it takes real courage to admit the problem. And so speaking to us when they came, maybe there was the beginning of a way out. And maybe somewhere in this passage from Proverbs comes a way into that problem. Because the opening six verses of Proverbs talks about not putting up security, of not committing yourselves to underwriting a neighbor's investment, or making profits and sealing them with making a promises for someone else and sealing them with a handshake. In other words, you're not promising your neighbor, you're promising your neighbor's neighbor, the person they borrowed money from. At this point, the person who's put up the security will be at the mercy both of their neighbor and their neighbor's neighbor. Because when I look at this passage, I have two questions that come immediately to mind. If you stand security for your neighbor, what happens if they disappear? What happens if they just up and go? You're left paying the debt. What happens if your neighbor has no care, admits they cannot pay, suddenly just says, well, I've taken on a debt that I can't pay? According to the teacher in Proverbs, that's the student's problem as well, because they've said they will underwrite it. And while most of the people I met during my time at HMRC had not put up security for their neighbors, they had nevertheless put up security against their loans for their businesses, and many of them had used their homes as surety for their business and borrowed against it. And so when their business was in trouble and the debts began to mount, their fear was not just for the money they owed, but for their very homes. And so when we see this passage from Proverbs, it's not simply a case of putting up surety for a loan or simply an exhortation to work hard. Surely there's some good news here. And we'll get to that in a minute. Because there's something else here. Something in the light of these scriptures. Something that in our current situation we might see. Something new here. In the teacher's word to the student, there seems to be a movement between putting up security and the exhortation to work hard. It comes twice. It comes in just after the don't do it bit. It says, if you do it, go and don't have any sleep. Go and work on your neighbor's behalf to pay off this debt. And then it comes in that latter bit. Those amusing words, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider his ways and be wise. I'm left wondering here whether actually there's something going on here about, not about working hard, but about trying to make money out of a situation without working hard. In effect, you do wonder whether the student is being warned against quick fixes. Putting up security for a loan with the hope of getting something out of it. Certainly in our own day and age, there is, if you Google insurance companies insuring personal business loans, there are pages of them. But surely this can't be the case in Proverbs, can it? Because in Leviticus 25:36, Moses urges people to help those who have fallen in need, not to make profit from it. The whole premise here is for putting up security is to help your neighbor out if they have fallen into debt. And surely any intention here of making something out of it is wrong. So is this teacher actually doing two things here? Warning the student against putting up security, against trying to make money for nothing, while at the same time saying, if you're going to put up security, be prepared to help your neighbor with their project. Be unstoppable in helping them out of any debt they fall into. Go, if necessary, to the point of exhaustion that the debt might be paid off so that they and you might be set free. Is this why the teacher urges the student to give their neighbor no rest? And is this the link to the next section, where the teacher talks about the industry of the ant and the disaster which comes on a sluggard? Is there both a critique here of making easy money and also the exhortation to help the neighbor to not allow disaster to come? I'm not sure. But I'm wondering whether this is where we see the good news. I'm wondering whether with the real sense of danger here, and don't get involved with supporting your neighbor, there's actually the advice is if you do that, be prepared for the long haul and be prepared to work hard to help them out of it. And maybe this is where we see the good news in our time, in our lives. Maybe those who are willing to put up security, to willing to stand with those who need help and to work at it and to go to the point of sleeplessness to ensure they are rescued. Maybe there's some good news here. Maybe that's what we see in the Cambridge Money and Advice Centre, in MAC. Because whilst I've not had personally seen MAC at work, I've dealt with other organisations when I sat on the other side of the counter. And I've seen how far they're willing to go to help and to pester and to reschedule debts and to make them payable and to ensure their clients fulfill their expectations. In my experience, they never put up security. But whilst they will not pay the debt or hand over money to the person who comes to them for help, they work tirelessly in other ways. Believe me, I've been on the end of the phone when organizations like MAC have been on the phone asking again and again for time for their client, to have sympathy with that client, to reschedule the debt, and give assurances after assurances that they will be paid. If there's enough time, they are tireless in helping their clients, and they're tireless on the other end as well. They're tireless in helping their clients how to manage the meager resources that they have. And as we heard from the stories that I read earlier, these tireless efforts are able to set their clients free from the prison that debt, the oppression that it causes. And surely this is where it becomes good news. In that way, it fulfills the Jesus manifesto by being good news to the poor, proclaiming freedom to the privileged, giving sight to the blind, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. This release is good news. So maybe in supporting the food bank, food cycle, food hubs, in supporting the Cambridge Money Advice Center, we have the privilege to be a part of that realized eschatology, that bringing God's kingdom in the here and now, of being and bringing good news to those who desperately need to hear it. And so I wonder in the providing the produce that we've given today, the money that we've offered, I wonder whether we have the privilege of being involved in being part of that Jesus manifesto of bringing good news to those who are struggling to feed their families and heat their homes, and struggling because they've been ensnared by the debts that have crept upon them. Amen.